I'm Scott Hansen, host of NFL Red Zone. Lowe's knows Sundays are for football. That's why we're here to help you get your next DIY project done, even when the clock isn't on your side. Whether that's a new Filtrete filter or Bosch and Kobalt power tools, Lowe's has everything you need to feel like the MVP of DIY. So get it done and earn your Sunday. Shop now, in-store, and online. Lowe's, official partner of the NFL.
This episode of the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast is brought to you by Harrys.com. Thank your father for blasting your genetic information into your mother's egg folds by giving him a nice shave. Harrys.com. Hello, my sweet babies of the night, with your darling little feet pedaling on your dream bikes down into hell. It is I, Duncan Trussell, and you are listening to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast. I gotta read this to you. I'm sure if you're someone who, like me, stays online for 95% of your life, you already read this incredible, weird report coming from the scientific universe. This is from ScienceDaily.com. I'm gonna read parts of it to you, and then I'm gonna tell you how crazy it is, even though you're probably already gonna understand how crazy it is. Experiment confirms quantum theory weirdness. The bizarre nature of reality as laid out by quantum theory has survived another test. With scientists performing a famous experiment and proving that reality does not exist until it is measured. Physicists have conducted John Wheeler's delayed choice thought experiment, which involves a moving object that is given the choice to act like a particle or a wave. The group reversed Wheeler's original experiment and used helium atoms scattered by light. That's a good choice. I would have done the same thing. The bizarre nature of reality. Wait, hold on. Shit. Common sense says the object is either wave-like or particle-like, independent of how we measure it. But quantum physics predicts that whether you observe wave-like behavior or particle behavior depends on how it is actually measured at the end of its journey. This is exactly what the ANU team found out. It proves that measurement is everything. At the quantum level, reality does not exist if you're not looking at it. Despite the apparent weirdness, the results confirm the validity of quantum theory, which governs the world of the very small and has enabled the development of many technologies such as LEDs, lasers, and computer chips. The ANU team not only succeeded in building the experiment, which seemed nearly impossible when it was proposed in 1978, but reversed Wheeler's original concept of light beams being bounced by mirrors and instead used atoms scattered by laser light. So I won't go into the details of the thing. You might already understand it. I certainly don't. Barely. But here's the gist of it. If one chooses to believe that the atom really did take a particular path or paths, then one has to accept that a future measurement is affecting the atom's past. The atoms did not travel from A to B. It was only when they were measured at the end of the journey that their wave-like or particle-like behavior was brought into existence, he said. Wow. Wow. Now, I'm no physicist. I'm sorry to disappoint many of you, probably based on my deep understanding of physics and math, have probably thought I was some kind of PhD in physics. I'm not. I'm just a guy who likes to eat marijuana and play Witcher. But I will tell you that this experiment validates my understanding, not of physics, but of magic and prayer and all the, quote, woo-woo stuff that I like talking about on this podcast. Because here we have reality, this sort of non-existent blast of phenomena. And then we have the expectations of the scientists shaping that reality at the fundamental level. That's all magic is, friends. That's all prayer is. That's all any of this stuff really is. It's learning how to focus your attention in a very specific way so that you can shape the field of phenomena around you to match whatever it is that you desire. That's the idea. That's it. So if this is working in the tiniest level, it's got to be working all the way up to the top, as the Emerald Tablet of Hermes Trismegistus says. Forgive me if I fuck up that name. It's fun to say. Emerald Tablet of Hermes Trismegistus says, as above, so below, which means as below, so above. So if at the very fundamental, deepest, smallest, tiniest, pixelated version of this strange dimension that we're existing in, the expectations of scientists is actually forming reality, possibly even forming reality in the past, then it must be happening right now. You understand? You're like a lighthouse. Your sensory apparatus is like a reality-shaping lighthouse. And whatever particular light that you're casting out into this great nothingness, the void surrounding all of us, is literally bringing it into existence. This is the breath of God in the book of Genesis. This is the breath of life. You still have it inside of you. The exhalation of the divine is rolling through you at every moment. And when you look out at the world, you have to do what God did in the book of Genesis. Not literally, you fucking assholes. I'm not saying it really happened. It's all symbolic. It's all deeper than you can understand. So don't clench your assholes, you atheists. I don't mean it literally happened. But in the book of Genesis, it says that God looked out upon the world and it was good. I don't know. It says something like that. Basically, he said, it's good. This is good. It's good. This is good. And it was. That's what you've got to do when you wake up in the morning and you look at yourself in the mirror and you see the effects of aging or booze or eating too many calories or sadness or all the grief or all the whatever you've been through. You've got to figure out a way to look at that reflection and say, it is good. This is good. This is good. And you do that because at the fundamental level, you are affecting yourself. At the quantum level, you are changing yourself every time you do something like that. Every time you have an expectation of people around you that's better than whatever it formerly was, then you are shifting reality. Now look, I sent a DM to a scientist friend of mine who's also a skeptic, Cara Santa Maria. Unfortunately, she wasn't able to get back to me so I could talk to her before this. I'm sure she's going to take some wind out of my sails here, but I'm going to try to record a brief conversation with her about this very principle because it's super important. And it's the essence of magic. Magic is just focusing your will, focusing your attention out into the world. So that instead of looking out into the world and having an expectation that everything sucks and the world is a cesspool and everyone's an asshole and everybody's going to hurt you and everyone's just out for their own good and everybody wants to stab you in the back if they can and people are going to lie to you and people are going to cheat and steal and the whole thing ends in just a grim seizure-like death moment as you look back on the rubble of your crap life and thank God that the whole thing's fucking ending. That's just magic, friends. If you look at it, if you look at things like that, that's what you're going to get. All the cliches, all the aphorisms, all the trite sayings from crystal gazing new age cuckoos have been confirmed by scientists. Our observation of reality brings reality into being. Your very attention shapes reality. The theory behind sigil magic, where you create some event that you want to happen in an encoded way on a bit of paper and you stare at it. and you manifest your that reality. Sometimes you stare at it and you actually masturbate. That's sex magic. You create a heightened state as you're peering at this sigil, which represents what you want to have happen. You're affecting reality at the fundamental level. That's what that's all about. And it also is kind of sinister when we think about all the corporate logos floating around us at all times. And how these corporations probably understand this very simple principle that if they can get enough people to turn that lighthouse, that reality-shaping lighthouse in the direction of their corporate symbology, is symbology even a word? I don't know. Then they can harness the power, the creative power of all mankind to bring their company or business or whatever it is they want into existence and keep it there by holding it in the visual field. That's why corporations pay so much fucking money for these billboards. This is why you, when you're watching something just for a second and you think, why would they even pay for that? Maybe they understand this stuff in some subconscious way. Maybe they have a different way of saying it. They're not going to say, oh, yes, we understand that the human force of attention is one of the most powerful thing that exists in this dimension, and that if we can turn enough optic nerves in the direction of our symbols, then we will actually summon a kind of money-making spirit that exists in the world. We can actually convert that attention into dough. They're going to have different corporate ways of saying that, but it's the same principle. And you got to bring it back to yourself, which is every single day when your mind, like some awful stubborn mule, starts pulling the chariot of your life in the direction of hell by talking shit about friends or hating yourself or contemplating suicide or considering how miserable your life is or turning towards the hopeless. When it starts pulling the chariot of your life toward the fields of desolation that so many other lives have been yanked into, you've got to grab the reins and use your will. Consider this scientific experiment and recognize that the untrained mind that is running amok through your life is actually summoning demons into your very existence. And you've got to turn your gaze in the direction of the good, no matter how absurd, ridiculous, or absolutely insane it may seem. Because you are, as far as we know, the most intelligent, sentient being that exists in this dimension. And your attention appears to be shaping reality at the fundamental level. And if you let your mind go nuts, if you allow those old habits and patterns that got injected into your brain by the terrified freaks who raised you or educated you take control, then you are going to get pulled into the land of demons that will fist your life until it is just a puckered, exploded rectum. Sorry, I don't know what was happening there, but you got to turn your eyes to the light. It's so important. It's really crazy to think about it. I'm going to quote, sorry if I've said this before, but one of the most profound things that was ever said to me when I was in high school was by my driver's ed teacher. I believe his name was Teeter. He said, the car tends to go in the direction you're looking. He didn't know that he was summarizing quantum physics. He didn't know that. He was just trying to teach me to drive. But that's the way it works. You got to really take a real long look at what you've been contemplating. You got to take a long look at what you've been thinking about. You got to take a long look about how you expect the universe to act, and then just as a thought experiment, imagine that the way you're looking at this motherfucking entity that we happen to have incarnated into is actually causing the entity to act in that way. That there seems to be some strange procreative relationship between human attention and phenomena, and when the two come together, phenomena gives birth to whatever attention has injected it with. That's right, your attention is the penis of the universe humping the phenomenological field and impregnating it with the seed of your expectations. and it's blasting out temporal babies into your future, laying temporal landmines into your future. You got to be careful, that's all. Spend some time over the next few days playing around with the concept that you are actually forming and shaping reality by your very expectation of the way things are to be. And then just for fun, see if you can trick yourself into imagining that you are in heaven, that you are existing in some kind of heaven state. You might have a little amnesia. You're like an angel with amnesia. You don't really understand what this is or where it is. Throw all your expectations away and just play around with the concept that you are in heaven and start expecting great things to happen. Do this as a form of scientific experiment and then get back to me and let me know what happens. Do the affirmations. Oh, God, they're so cheesy. It really does give you the willies to imagine standing in front of the mirror and looking at yourself and saying to yourself, you are beautiful. You are perfect. You deserve love. You are made of love. You're made of light. And this universe is yours to enjoy. But it's worth a try. It's better than standing in front of that fucking mirror and doing the habitual affirmations that you may have been doing for the last many years where you look at yourself and say or think, God, you look like shit today. Another day. No! Don't be a lazy magician. No matter what, you're doing magic, friends. And if you've allowed the imp of your uncontrolled mind to grab the steering wheel of your life, then you can be certain that that motherfucker is going to drive you home, and home for the imp of the mind is hell. Just wants to go home, wants to drive back to sit on its daddy's lap and suckle at its billion nipples and drink poison while watching demons gouge the eyeballs out of those who have sinned. Don't let an imp control your mind. You have to take control. You've got to grab the reins, and you've got to steer this life of yours into the direction of paradise. Science is backing this stuff up. Also, I guess, stop watching Fox News, or any news for that matter. I've got to yank my eyes away from that, because possibly if you start digesting their apprehension of reality, that very thing might come into existence. We've got to be careful, friends. We might have underestimated the potency of the human attention here. We might all be like toddlers carrying M16s, accidentally blasting temporal bullets into the future and blowing up all chances of happiness. Got to be careful. Turn your eyes towards the light. Do as an experiment this week. Just do it. Do the cheesy affirmation. No one has to know that you're doing it. You can make it a secret. Go into the bathroom, look in the mirror, and tell that reflection just how beautiful it is, and just how perfect it is, and just how incredible it is that it's managed to pull itself from a nothingness into a somethingness, that all its atoms are harmonizing in a perfect way, that it can balance itself, that it has an optic nerve that can transform photons into visual form. There's so many beautiful and glorious things about the human body. You know that. It's incredible. Do that to your life. And then let me know, friends. That's my rant for today. Thank you for listening. I love you guys. And I am visualizing that every single one of you are going to have the most incredible week of your life. That this is going to be the big one. This one, this week. This is where it happens. This is the beginning of the snowball effect that moves you in the direction of a wonderful existence. This is it. All the other stuff from the past, that's just because you let that loathsome, buck-toothed, horned, multi-eyeballed imp drive you into hell. Johnny Pemberton is our guest today, but first, some quick business.
Exploring the multiverse can take a lot out of you, even if it's just in your mind. That's where Timeline's MitoPure gummies come in. These are the first ever longevity gummies powered by MitoPure, Timeline's patented form of urolithin A. They help renew your mitochondria, which are like the power plants of your cells, so you get real, lasting energy. MitoPure gummies are the only clinically proven urolithin A gummy for strength and healthy aging from the inside out. And they're backed by over 15 years of research. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO. If you want to stay strong and energized now and as you age, then you have to try MitoPure gummies. Timeline offers 20% off, just for listeners of this show. Head to timeline.com/mito20 to get started. That's timeline.com/mito20. Your cells will thank you.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Let's dive right into the podcast. Today's guest is the host of a wonderful podcast called Twisting the Wind. Links will be at duncantrussell.com. He's also a brilliant comedian and actor. He's been on the show a few times before, and I love him. Please welcome Johnny Pemberton. Johnny Pemberton, welcome back to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast. I realized something, that we've been doing all these live podcasts together.
Right.
And in the midst of that, I haven't been putting you on the regular podcast, and it's basically like I've removed you from what I consider to be my roster of glory.
Your roster of glory.
And it's sad, because it's like I've got all these beautiful casts with you just in my vault. Unreleased, but you're not getting out there like you used to, and it's fucked.
It's so fucked, I can't believe it. It's so fucked. I've just been like spinning around in a small hole I dug with my feet, just dancing upside down until like I get enough dust to where it makes it hard to breathe, and I just cry out the dust and sneeze.
Man, that dance that you're talking about there is the dance of the doomed.
The dusty hole dance?
That's the dance of the doomed. That sounds like, that reminds me of like an old school thing that like coal miners would do. When you're really depressed. It's like the story of Johnny Cash going down into the coal mine. You know
to
that
die,
story?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just went on down there and no.
The dust shuffle.
Johnny, happy birthday.
Thanks, Duncan. Oh, yes, that's today, yeah.
I'm so happy to be sharing your birthday with you. We went for a jog.
A run? Was it a jog or a run?
That I always say run. That was a jog.
Yeah, it was a jog. I think I've read that the difference between a jog and a run is the jog is between 2 and 4 miles per hour, and a run is between 4 and 6. Or not that's miles per hour, but it's on the treadmill. It's like, you know, when you type in the numbers on the treadmill, it's like 3 to 4. Or 2 to 4, something like that.
Now that I have this fancy ass fucking Fitbit, I can actually go in and see where my heart rate during the run was the most.
Where was it?
For 1 minute, I hit what is called fat burning.
What is it? 200?
It's when your pulse goes to like 160 or something.
Okay.
Now you're fat burning.
Yeah.
But apparently, if it isn't hitting that, then it's not the same somehow.
Really?
Which I didn't know. But
that's why I got to do hills.
That's why you got to, you got to push yourself. This is
hills.
People don't understand. I don't think I didn't understand back in the day that if you really want to exercise,
right.
you got to like be out of breath. Like you've got to push yourself really hard.
It's got to hurt.
It's got to hurt.
It's got to hurt, but then you get that download, that beautiful liquid wet juice that just spills down the back of your head and it like hits the spine, the top of the spinal column, the cervical vertebrae, and it's just like all of a sudden you hear these locusts and you think about cardboard lighting on fire as you flap your way.
You know what they call that? You know what they call it in Dune?
What?
In the Dune trilogy, those great books?
What do they call it?
The juice of Zafu. Do you know the juice of Zafu?
Is that connected to the spice?
It's actually a different, it's actually kind of like, I guess, what you consider to be it's the Mentats, and let me see if I can actually find the Sappho prayer. Hold on.
Well, there's a guy named French Cash. You ever heard of him? French Cash? He's a body mod expert, and he's a SSRI expert.
No, I've never heard of him.
French Cash.
Is that real?
No, it's a cool name, though, right?
Here, listen. This is the This is the mantra for the Mentats that the Mentats say when they take this stuff, this I guess you'd call it a nootropic called Sappho juice.
Zipper juice.
It is by will alone I set my mind in motion. It is by the juice of Sappho that thoughts acquire speed. The lips acquire stains. The stains become a warning. It is by will alone I set my mind in motion. That's they would drink this like crazy shit and say that mantra as they were saying it. But I love It is by will alone that I set my mind in motion, because that is the essence of magic and yoga.
It's nothing. You're not doing anything but thinking about it.
But this is, I was just talking about this in the rant in the beginning of the podcast. I don't know if you have heard about this, but they did another of these bizarre quantum physics studies based on the weird idea that it is the expectation of the observer that appears to be shaping phenomena at the fundamental quantum level.
Really?
So the expectation being, if you expect a particle, you get a particle. If you measure, they say your measurement, what you're measuring. So if you measure for a particle, you get a particle. If you measure for a wave, you get a wave.
And that's like an old, isn't that? There's an old phenomenon that has to do with the way people document things. I can't think of what it's called. It's something's law or something's principle about how once you observe something, you change the nature of the thing you're observing by the act of observing.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Now, that's it. That's the essence of it. And they did some kind of bizarre experiment with helium atoms and random number generators.
Really?
And because it was a thought experiment some physicists came up with. And the end result is, it looks like our expectation of the particle appears to be, shaping the particle. There seems to be an observation of is not just a kind of outside thing. It's actually the observation, the field of observation seems to be like the potter's hand affecting the clay of phenomena.
Right. But it's not expectation. I feel like there's like a difference, right? Because expectation is different than will, right? There's something that what Ram Dass talks about, right? About the difference between wanting and the idea of you want something and the idea of you. There's a difference between the desire and want. That's the thing he talks about, that desire versus want. Like, want is sort of shallow and immaterial and based on, not really based on anything, but desire is like a whole body, whole mind sort of thing. So you're willing it into existence, as opposed to like, I expected it to be more fun at the amusement park.
Yeah, right.
To be like, oh, it's going to be so much fun at the amusement park because you'll be there. This ride will be there. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Like, well, I thought it was going to go faster.
Right.
That's the difference.
It's the difference. It's the difference between lazy magicians and magicians who have begun the true practice of magic.
Right.
No matter what, you're doing magic. No matter what, you are shaping your reality. It's just one group of magicians likes to pretend that they're not. And that group of magicians is called the victims. And the type of magic they practice is called victim magic.
Right.
And victim magic works via this kind of magician casting the spell where – let me think of a good one. A good victim magic spell is –
parking tickets are a good one.
I'll give you a classic victim magic mantra. If you're a victim magician, you've probably said this mantra before. Here it is. This is one of the classic victim magic spells. Man, things are going pretty good for me right now, which means something's about to fuck up.
Right.
That is a classic victim magician spell.
Yeah.
It's one of their primary spells. Whereas when you have like a magician who doesn't practice victim magic, who practices actual the magic of what you could call theurgy. Which is the
theurgy?
Theurgy. Theurgy. Theurgy.
Thurgy?
Theurgy.
I think it's pronounced thurgy.
Thurgy. Thurgy. When you practice thurgy, then you might hear this one of the great magical spells of all time, which is thank you, God. That's one of the great spells. So, like, you'll hear these, like, everyone's doing it.
I do it. I've done it. I've definitely done it.
Oh, God, me too.
Yeah. That's like, I always used to quote that Grateful Dead lyric. I don't know what it is. It's something like, The first days, the worst days, blah, blah, blah. But when life looks like easy street, there's trouble at your door.
Ooh, don't do that spell.
Oh, mama, don't. I can't do an impression.
When life, dun, there is danger at your door.
So take one more strip of acid.
Strip.
And put that blotter on your tongue. Run out the door, don't pay the check. You're a band on the run. Take one more red. You got a banana peel to eat. Smoke those banana peels.
Take more acid, take less showers.
Just run around in circles.
Man, that's you do it. So when you start playing, like right now, you just start playing around with this awesome concept,
right,
which is that you are a magician and that you have lost yourself in an amnesic state due to a series of failed experiments.
Right.
And now, just like a magician who is in his summoning chamber in the inner sanctum of his magical laboratories, and he did something fucking weird, manifested himself in a dimension where he was completely in control but got amnesia, and
right,
then the end result of it is that his power, his incredible power, is wreaking havoc on his life. And instead of recognizing that he's the one who's creating all these circumstances, he has begun to think that the
outside
of him.
Yeah.
It's a terrible predicament to get into.
Yeah, it's easy to, though. It's super easy. It's like a little, it's like a gravity tractor beam kind of thing, because you don't see it. You don't feel it pulling on you. It's like a thing where a lot of times you just don't realize that it's happening, but it is happening. It's like it's like the same with negative thoughts. It's like a slippery thing where, oh, you don't realize it until it's like, what is it that people always say about, there's so many things that you don't realize, you know, about the rearview mirror effect. That's like a scientific thing they talk about. There's a lot of phenomenon they don't know has happened until years after it's happened, because they can't tell until they're looking back on it. So sometimes you're in a situation like, oh, wow, I didn't realize it, but I've been in this badness because I couldn't see, you couldn't contextualize it or step outside of it.
Alcoholism is a classic example of that,
right,
where you've been festering in booze for
right,
years, and you don't even realize that your life is being shaped and formed by the addiction to this chemical.
It's like having a break, like having a light break on your bike or something. Yeah.
What do you mean a break?
It's like slowing, just things like that.
Oh,
just,
yeah,
slow,
right,
you,
right,
down.
Right, right.
Yeah, so you can't, you're working hard. Like, I'm working so hard, but it's hard to go. Oh, it's because there's, you have the brakes on.
You got the fucking brakes on, man.
Yeah.
And you, and you're, it's fun to, all these are just thought experiments that are designed to move your life into the direction of existing in heaven. That's all this stuff is. We're just trying to come up with thought experiments to move your life into a better direction. That's all magic really is. But if you pretend that your most negative, reoccurring thought patterns are actually demonic forces, and that you have been possessed by demons, that in the midst of, like, you were casting some spell, who knows what you were doing, maybe you were creating an entire universe,
right,
and you accidentally fell into the universe and forgot you were creating the universe, and somewhere in the midst of this, in the classic style,
you,
if you step out of the magic circle, you get attacked by demons, the demons got into your fucking head, and they started telling you really fucked up things like, you're always going to be fat.
Yeah.
You'll never get in shape. You'll never find love.
Why are you doing this to yourself?
Yeah.
Why are you doing the thing that you're doing?
Yeah.
That's that thing where you get in that cycle of, I get in that cycle sometimes with like negative thoughts where you get mad at yourself for something, and that just increases it because you're angry with yourself for the thing that you're angry with yourself for the thing that you're angry with yourself. So you have to, like, if you talk about it in the demon mentality where it's like, oh, that wasn't me that did that. That's this thing that's apart from me because I'm no one. I'm really nothing.
That's it.
Yeah, you're not anything at all. You're just nothing.
Well, you're nothing, but you are your will. You're your will.
You're both. It's the duality. It's the great duality of being everything, being unique, but also being nothing at all.
And nothing is everything.
Right.
And that's power. And what you're talking about there is proliferation. You're talking about, in Buddhism they call it proliferation, which is the endless echo that happens,
yeah,
after some specific event. And wherever your mind lands during this echo, that's going to create even more proliferation. And the whole time, all you're doing is burrowing deeper and deeper into hell. That's all you're doing. And you just, all you have to do, it's so weird, but at any second, you can completely change your focus. You can change your mentations. You can change your habitual thought patterns at any second. It's really kind of cool.
Just disengage from it.
Or engage with a better version of things.
Yeah.
Because it is weird to think you're always like 2 months away from a completely different life, and 2 months goes by real quick. If you start working out.
Is 2 months a specific number?
I'd say, I'm thinking like, okay.
I think more like 6 weeks.
All right, let's say six.
I think 6 weeks.
But if you like, if you for 2 months straight, start exercising, or for you for 2 months straight, start eating right, or for you for 2 months straight, start meditating, or for 2 months straight.
It's just your life then.
Everything changes. And whatever you were doing before that 2 month period will seem like a weird dream. Like you'll look back and be like, what the fuck was I doing that for? I can't believe I was drinking that much and not paying attention to what I was eating.
Eating shit food or.
Yeah.
Like getting mad at yourself for waking up late.
Yeah. And it's weird. You look back and be like, what? Wait, oh, weird. Oh, fuck, man. I was sleepwalking. That's all. Right. I was just sleepwalking.
Yeah.
2 months. There's a 2 month membrane separating every single person on the planet from a completely different existence. It's just about a 2 month, maybe not even that long, but 2 month membrane that you got to push through.
There's something like that. There's some like statistic about what it takes, the length of time it takes to form a habit.
Right.
It's something like that, like 6 weeks or, I don't know, 100 repetitions or something like that. So you can look it up.
Look it up, guys.
Go to FrenchCash.net/blog.
French Cash.
I can't think of that name. I was coming over here. I am French Cash.
Man, I what do you think about this this stuff?
TSA?
NSA. What do you think about the shit going down with the NSA right now?
What is it? Honestly, all that stuff lately, I just stopped caring about it because I feel like there's so many things people talk. I heard some people overheard people talking about technology, like drone technology and surveillance technology, about, oh, this is coming, that's coming. When the reality is that anything we're talking about coming is definitely pretty much here.
Right.
Like, if it's not here, it's like months away, not years away. It's just the matter of the time it takes for it to infiltrate mass media and society is a little bit of ways away.
Right.
So all that stuff is inevitable, right? Like all the ideas of robots being able to compete with humans, all that stuff is just inevitable. So sometimes lately I've just sort of been disengaging from it because I find it's like there's not really anything to talk about. It's like talking about the sun. Is the sun going to come up tomorrow? It's going to come up.
Right.
It's just how you deal with the inevitable change. Like,
right.
Yeah, like I don't know what the new NSA stuff is though.
Well, it's it's basically the NSA has been gathering phone records of everyone.
But that's nothing new, right?
No, nothing new. I mean, it's relatively new.
Right, but we knew what we've known about since Snowden, right?
Since Snowden.
Yeah.
So here's the NSA collecting all this fucking data on every single person. And the idea is that if they identify one person who's a potential terrorist, then they can look at who that person
the link
who that person's talked to, and then look at all the people who that person's talked to.
Well,
and
how many steps down the way can you be connected? Is it like Kevin Bacon kind of thing? 7 degrees.
It all leads to Kevin Bacon. Yeah. That's the one who's behind getting the shit overturned is Kevin Bacon.
Because
somehow, no matter what, you end up. It seems like Kevin Bacon keeps popping up. But yeah, it is like that.
Yeah.
But the main fucked up thing about it is that the government cannot collect data on every citizen.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
You mean like physically or not allowed to?
You're not allowed to constitutionally.
Yeah, they're not allowed to, no.
You can't do it. It's a spy state.
Yeah.
It's a spy bureaucracy that we're paying for. And so Rand Paul, who I don't know too much about.
He's a weird guy, man, because he's like so polarizing.
Some stuff
he says, I'm like, you're a fucking asshole. Other stuff I'm saying, he says like why are you saying this? Doesn't make sense coming from you that you're... Yeah, he's very much that weird thing where you hate him and love him at the same time.
Well, it looks like this son of a bitch is making a run for – is going to like really – is going for it to be president.
Right.
And so this is all part of that. But what he did is he somehow managed to obstruct the Senate – from, and forgive me, you guys, if I'm saying this the wrong way. I don't know the exact process that he used, but Rand Paul managed to keep the Patriot Act, as it's called,
from renewing. I didn't know that.
He got in the way of that shit.
Cheers.
He got in the way of that.
I didn't know that. That's great.
He got in the way of aspects of it renewing.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
It's a big fucking deal, man. And he pulled it off. Now, they are apparently this week going to try to get the thing back into place with something called the... Guess the name of the new act.
Oh, it's probably something really – something that's – it's called like definitely if you don't vote for this, you like to touch children's genitals. Something like that. The Children Genital Protection Act of 2015.
That's it.
Something like
that's
that.
That's what it's called. Yeah. It's called the Freedom Act.
Okay, there you go.
The Freedom Act.
The irony – It's the opposite of the
but
Freedom
that is
Act,
some
yeah.
Orwellian shit, man. They've Classic. Got they have no problem taking a thing that has nothing to do with freedom at all, like completely nothing. It's like you might as well call it the Volcano
it's
Act.
It's just branding.
It's
classic good branding.
How dumb are these? How dumb do they think we are?
Well, they don't. They know we're not dumb. They know we don't care. No one gives a shit because no one reads. No one knows about anything that's going on. And if they do. They don't care enough to do anything about it, and if they do care enough to do anything about it, they can't do anything about it. So every window down the line becomes like at the end, it's like 0.5% of people actually even know, care, and are willing to do something about it. But then it's like they know because there's all this government things that they've created over the years since like you could say it's been going on forever. But there's a thing that happened a few years ago where they passed this restriction to bar congressional voting records and the congressional voting records and also investments of Congress members are supposed to be made public so you can check for conflicts of interest.
Right.
It was an old thing. And what they did is in a no contest Friday vote where the senators don't have to be present to vote, overwhelmingly passed to not make these available. And the only way you can view them is if you go to the fucking White House library in the very limited hours they're open and specifically request certain pages from certain senators' documentation in paper format, which you can view and photocopy at the library.
Wow.
So basically, no one has access to this stuff. And it was a no contest vote. Because they're all like, it's that same thing where no one... I hate you hate me, but we hate the White Walkers, which is like the humans, the citizens. We don't want them to fucking know about us.
We're the White Walkers.
Yeah, the humans are the White Walkers.
That's a Game of Thrones reference for those of you guys who don't know. So that's kind of the cool thing about what Rand Paul did is that
it's
what
a big step.
It forces whoever's for the goddamn thing to come out and say they're for it, and whoever's against it to come out and say they're against it publicly. It creates a debate.
Yeah.
And the debate makes it so that any of these fucking loons who come out and they're like, listen, we need to monitor all civilians at all times. That's on the record forever. And so in campaign commercials, their adversaries can play them on the floor talking about how they want to monitor everybody and they're going to seem like fascists. And that's what they didn't want to have happen.
Right, because people actually do hate that. You can talk to dumb idiots in the street who don't know who the fucking vice president is. And they're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I don't want to hear you talking to my grandma. Like they'll say that in Times Square.
Yeah, we don't want that. So, and that's like a base. That's like we have been, born into that. That's a deep-seated American. We don't get monitored by our government. This is not a fucking.
Yeah.
This is like the Putin level shit. And we don't do that. And the fact that fucking Obama is. Oh, I heard the creepiest. Obama did a special message.
Was it backwards?
It's just, that weird way as of talking where he's just like, he did, to the American people, we've got to keep.
The fact is.
We got to keep things safe.
We got to keep things safe for you. Talked to a guy just yesterday, Jim Stevenson. Hardworking guy. Constituent. Working hard on the farm. We've got to keep him safe. Because thing is. Folks, they don't want to get bombed. I don't want to get bombed. Michelle's going to get bombed. Aaliyah and the other child, I don't want to get bombed.
Let's keep us from getting bombed. We're going to monitor you at all times.
We're just going to take a look at your phone. Look, we can't tell who you're calling. We can't tell when. We can't tell the content of the call. But if there's a JPEG in the text,
we could
look at it.
Look at it. I have no reason to look at any of your emails or texts.
Don't have time.
But we need that ability. It's like, it's so creepy, yeah. And it was so funny hearing him come out. And that's why, you know, I don't know. The problem is I don't know enough about Rand Paul's politics outside of this. I've heard controversial shit, which I can't recall. I'm not sure what his policy on marijuana is. I'm not sure what his policy on the prison industrial complex is. I don't know. I don't understand his drug policy. I don't know anything about
him. I think a lot of that stuff you're talking about, the prison industrial complex and the marijuana stuff, is pretty – should fall in with typical libertarian stuff where it's like they don't care because they shouldn't care. Like maybe he has an opinion about it, but that's what Ron Paul used to always say. Like Ron Paul obviously had his own personal opinions, but he'd say, my personal opinions don't matter. How I feel about abortion doesn't matter because it's not for me to decide. It's for you to decide.
Right.
It's not my judgment.
Right. Yeah. Well, hopefully that's the way he sees things. I don't know, but I do know that whatever he did, it created a little, you know, bump in the yeah. way things are going. And, you know, a lot of people, I tweeted something about it, and a lot of skeptics are like tweeting back, don't believe that, don't believe this, it doesn't matter what they say.
Yeah.
They're still going to do what they want to do. There's nothing we can do about it. Don't fall prey to this. It's wrestling, man. The whole thing's fake. Don't get sucked in.
Oh, wrestling like professional wrestling?
Professional wrestling. You know, you're falling prey to it. Don't fall prey to it. These guys are all bought and sold and blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. Maybe so. But Rand Paul created enough turbulence that it's on the headlines of all newspapers.
And he's a senator, right? Is he a senator?
Yes.
And that's a big deal because most senators are – just camp their money jockeys. They vote exactly by whatever their donor base tells them to do.
Yep.
Without a doubt. So everything dies in the Senate because it's like, oh, you can have the most glorious, like freedom enhancing, fucking money bashing bill you ever could design, and it passes in the House and it goes to the Senate, and it's just like, it's like throwing a fucking, it's like throwing a rock on the ocean expecting it to float.
Yeah.
Just not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Yeah. You build a stone boat and send it over to the Senate.
Well, you know, man, and that was the other weird thing in Obama's fucking creepy-ass address to the American people was he's like, you know, people are using this issue for politics. You know, he's basically saying the reason Rand Paul is doing this is because he wants to get elected president. But it's like, it seems that maybe that's the case, but if disrupting a surveillance state gets him elected president, that means that we don't want people monitoring us, which is why we would vote for him.
That's why, yeah, that's the whole point of it.
It's the whole point. So it seems very, very – that guy – man, I mean, there's so many things that have happened during Obama's presidency that I love. The marijuana becoming legal, gay marriage,
healthcare,
to some degree. I know that's a controversial subject matter.
It shouldn't be controversial.
I like the healthcare stuff. Yeah. There was nothing cooler than after I had had cancer, calling up a fucking – I remember like calling my insurance company to sign up for insurance. And they were just like, yeah, here's the plans. Which one do you want? And I'm like, aren't you guys going to check out my medical history or whatever? Or like, and the
we're
guy,
not allowed to.
In a very grumpy way, the guy's like, we don't do that now.
I mean, there's nothing I used to love more than looking up someone's medical history and giving them a big fat no.
No! You're going to die!
So I sit on my hemorrhoid donut shitting into a bucket in a hole I've cut out of this chair that I live in.
You're going to die. I'm sorry, but we can't help you or your kids. That stuff's cool, man. But this other stuff, the kind of like background monitoring, that kind of shit gives me the heebie-jeebies.
It does?
Yeah, and I got nothing to hide, man. I mean, everything that I say everything on this podcast.
Yeah.
It's not even like I've got anything to like that isn't complete public knowledge about me.
Then you have nothing to worry about, Duncan.
Right, but except the fact that you're monitoring me. It just gives you a bad feeling.
Yeah.
It's like, don't go through my shit. There's nothing there, obviously. It's not like I'm a fucking terrorist. You're not a terrorist.
I'm not. No, not at all. I have some sympathy, you know. Hello.
You what? You what?
I'm a terrorist.
I'm a fucking terrorist.
I'm a fucking terrorist.
Oh,
yeah. I can't do it right now.
I am a terror. No one's a fucking... Just stop all that shit.
Well, that's the thing about terrorism now is it's kind of a slippery slope, right? Who is a terrorist?
Who isn't?
It's like if you're sympathetic towards ISIS, you're a terrorist sympathizer, which makes you a terrorist.
I mean, how are you going to be fucking sympathetic towards ISIS anyway?
People are.
Who? No one's sympathetic towards...
16-year-old girls who are... piss at their parents.
Yeah, right. I know
if I was in high school right now, because I used to be a very pissed off young man, like drawing like, you know, bloody car accidents and shit like that. Shit that's like, since it was pre-Columbine, they didn't raise any red flags. But if I was doing that stuff now, people are like, we need to get him in something.
Me too.
Yeah, you definitely would have been
me too.
Talked to, because I know that I thought about doing terrible. I didn't do anything terrible because... There's like that separation in your brain that allows you to not do the things you think about. That's what makes people not murderers and things like that. But to an outside observer, I'm sure it probably would have looked pretty bad, especially given the things that happened after we got out of high school.
When I was in – I don't remember which class it was, but I remember like my overwhelming feeling every day in high school was one of dread – and resistance.
Resistance, yeah.
Because I felt that I didn't want to be stuck in this maze of bullies and...
Just bureaucratic bullshit.
Sitting and listening to people tell me facts in the most dry way. The whole thing just sucked.
Asking for permission to use the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, that kind of shit. Yeah, like I'm a fucking human, man. If I have to piss, I've got to piss. And being forced into this dreadful situation.
Yeah.
You know, you would go and visit with the career person and take this ridiculous test, and at the end of it they would be like, oh, you should consider a job.
Welding.
Public relations. That kind of shit where you're just like, well wait, so you're saying that the life that I have to look forward to is one of like sitting in an office doing public relations work? Or like, you know, even in my college that I went to, there was a careers class you had to take where they taught you how to fill out resumes and shit. And I can remember like just sitting in this class and the guy is teaching, and it's just a true American pig.
Really?
And he, like, you know, he'd wear a suit to class and he'd go through how important your resume was and how to dress for the interview and how to do a fucking interview.
Yeah.
All this kowtowing to a hierarchical crap structure.
Yeah.
And I can
crap structure.
And I can remember like sitting there and he's like giving, you know, I'm being obnoxious or whatever. And I think like on my resume, because I just had already decided at that point there's no fucking way that I'm gonna that if this is the fucking system, I guess I'm going to get ground up by it. But I made a fake resume form that was just full of bullshit because I thought it was funny. And I remember in class, after he looked at my resume in front of the class, he's like, well, Duncan, I just want you to know that when you graduate, if you ever wanted me to give you a reference for a job, I'm not going to do it.
Oh.
So he's like,
happened just now?
Yeah, it's cool.
Our sine waves, they passed in the middle, and there was a, what's that called? It's called something.
It's called
phasing. That's a. I was
we
a,
phased.
That was a natural sine
we
phase
phased.
Just now. That was sort of cool.
We
hope
phased.
Hope that picked up on there. But yeah, it's normal.
It's like
normal bullshit.
So the translation of that is, if I can, damage your future for not bending down to my authority,
I will,
and pretending that my paradigm is the right paradigm, then I will hurt you if I can.
Those are always people who are damaged people. You look back on it now and you think, like, you can't help but feel bad for those people because you know that they're angry about all kinds of things because they're doing something that they don't want to do, and it's sad because You are...
No, this guy was doing just what he fucking wanted to do.
I don't think so.
This purveyor of a doom paradigm.
But he's sad because his life sucks.
Well,
he's
no,
angry,
I don't,
right?
I don't think his life sucked. This guy, like, every morning he pretends he's fucking what's-his-face from Wall Street.
He was unhappy.
He's like somebody giving fucking lessons to baby pigs about how to, like, fight off other baby pigs to suckle at the nipple of Satan.
Right.
Fuck these career people. Fuck your career, and you're teaching me how to fucking... You're not teaching me. You're not teaching me how to do a job. You're teaching me how to manipulate... people,
how to be shitty, how to be hateful, how to like not do what you want to do, not be happy. Teach me how not to be happy.
You're putting me in a fucking thought prison, man.
Right.
And so in high school, this paradigm is being espoused again and again and again and again about a certain way that you're supposed to live and a certain and if you don't live in that way, then you know I can remember like when I was in high school. There was a mural on the wall of one of my teacher's class. She taught history, and the mural had been painted there years and years and years and years ago in the glory days by students, and it was just,
like
you know,
the 50s.
And nothing spookier than an old mural, man, an old muddied, you know, kind of dripping mural.
Like was bad art, like when people's faces look like they've kind of been injured in an accident and reassembled.
Yeah.
Like poorly done.
Poorly done mural, horror movie level mural. The kind of mural where, the pasty.
You know what? The kind of mural that's at the Hollywood Improv.
Yes. Which is weird because that's a brand new mural.
Yeah, man.
And it already looks spooky. If you guys want to see a spooky mural.
Oh, man, look up the Hollywood Improv mural.
Woo! That one's going to take you down a rabbit hole, man.
That's some gender-bending shit.
It creates some severe cognitive dissonance because you don't understand why. Because the Improv's a great club, man.
It's great.
And you look at the mural and it's like, well, I want to love this. I don't, though. And I
kind of love it because of what it is. You know what I mean? I love it because it's like the same reason you love folk art.
Maybe that's why the artist did it. But there, you know, a guy managed to get some dolphins into a goddamn.
Yeah, what's the dolphin doing there?
I think it represents the.
It's a dolphin with sunglasses.
Yeah. He got a dolphin with sun. He managed to get like a. It's like he went down to Venice Beach and like took a picture of the like a. A pithy t-shirt with a dolphin with sunglasses on it and put it on the improv mural. But anyway, this woman...
In your classroom.
Somebody broke into the fucking school and just erased her mural.
What do you mean erased it? Painted over it with white?
No, like used something to... It was a chalk mural. Like somehow they preserved...
A chalk mural?
They preserved it, Johnny. I don't know how.
Okay.
But somebody came in there and dissolved the mural.
God.
So... We come to her class. I was in the first period class with her. We come to her class. We sit down. You look over. It's just like that mural would mock you as you're sitting and listening to a dry recitation of American history in an uncomfortable chair in a way earlier than you need to be taking in information.
Probably with a boner, too.
Yeah.
Like with a hard high school morning boner that you don't even want.
Some fresh bruises flowering on your arm from where some asshole punched you because you're a weirdo.
You got punched?
Oh, yeah. I got bullied.
So
you're sitting there just like kind of like in it already just like, well, another day in the fucking penal colony for teenagers, and you look over and the mural has been defaced and everyone in the classroom's looking around. They're like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. And she comes in, she's at, you know, gets into, you know, gets right into the whatever the fuck she was teaching, and it takes a few beats and she realizes the feeling in the class is weird, and she looks over. And God damn it if that mural isn't defaced. And she starts crying. It was very sad.
That is sad as hell.
It was sad. Nobody deserves that.
Oh,
but...
and a teacher, an older female teacher.
Yeah.
It's probably just a...
just, you know, it's like, come on, man. You're teaching about American history. You know that things in this country tend to fall apart. It's including your mural.
Abruptly.
Yeah, it's like you're attached to this mural. Hey, how about you put a fucking mural, a new mural up?
Yeah.
How about you put some colors on the fucking wall instead of us having to sit by this dreary old fucking creepy mural?
How about some progress instead of gripping onto the past as tightly as you possibly can?
It's not the goddamn 70s anymore, goddammit. We're human beings! We deserve a new mural! But anyway, so, you know, whatever. Everyone's sitting there. They don't know how to react. And what happens is she apparently gives her list of suspected mural defacers to the principal. And
you're on it.
And I'm on it.
I knew it.
And I get called into the fucking principal's office. And I'm sitting there. And he's like, were you?
Duncan Trussell, I have here on good accord from Miss McClatchy that you are suspected of defacing. Well, I won't even call it defacing because it's much worse. Mm-hmm. Of destroying the mural in her classroom. What do you have to say for yourself, Duncan?
I didn't do it.
Okay, is there a reason you can provide some sort of proof about that? Because it seems to me that you've been saying some things in class and acting in a way that Miss McClatchy, you can't help but feel like you're a prime suspect. You're a smart boy. We know that. We know you could probably figure out how to get in here and leave no trace.
He even did one of these. He did one of these where he's like, Duncan, we know that you were part of the people who defaced that mural.
Duncan, look, Duncan. Duncan, I like you. Your family's been in this community for a number of years. But we know you defaced the mural. And there's two ways out of this. You can be hard about this and deny it all you want, or you can just fess up and talk about it, and we'll figure out an appropriate punishment for an action of this sort that is uncalled for. So, Duncan, tell us why you did it.
I didn't do it.
Duncan, look, I don't have all day. There's a couple other people on this list, but I know who's doing it. I know you work with some people. Look, you don't have to blame. You don't have to tattle. I know you don't want to.
I bet they twisted your arm into doing it, didn't they?
I bet they twisted your arm. It's a Duncan. I know you're a good boy. I know you probably got twisted into this.
That is exactly what happened. And the final thing that he said to me was, he goes, Duncan, when he realizes I haven't done it, he can tell. He goes, Duncan, it looks to me that your life has gotten off on the wrong track. Now, this has stuck with me ever since then, because I remember leaving there and thinking, is my life really on the wrong track?
Oh, it's so like, much influence.
Is
it
on the wrong track? Now the truth of the matter was, I mean, I was taking LSD whenever I could.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was one of our favorite pastimes. Was you would acquire LSD and you would take it in
the
morning,
store.
go to school on acid.
Oh man, that's cool. I didn't do that.
You would do that whenever you could because you know it was like otherwise you're in this.
Yeah, it's a way to get out.
And you're seeing all this stuff, you know, mm-hmm. that you normally wouldn't see. Those of you who are in high school, I'm not recommending that you do this.
I recommend you don't. I recommend you do it on Christmas break or some shit and do it at a river.
we do not know. Johnny doesn't recommend that anybody who is under the legal age do any kind of illegal anything. We're not saying to do it because in my old age, I've learned that you can get much more out of that substance from a very responsible usage of it. But we this is how we used to spend time back in those days. And so anyway, the
fallout,
the fact that our children are being jammed into these goddamn hell mazes with their minds being infected with these kinds of like darts, these toxic darts, mm-hmm. like that principal really could have. I bet you, if he'd wanted to at that moment,
got you to suck his dick.
I would have. I did suck his dick. He could have easily got me to suck his dick. I bet that he could have though. He could have like done a lot of good for me at that moment.
He could have, yeah.
He could have really just been like.
Well, I had teachers that did both. You know, I definitely had some teachers that did a lot of good, and I felt like I owe them a lot of stuff. It just. It's always that. It's always both. I feel like most schools. I think most schools there's both.
Well, these days teachers are in hell. These teachers are in hell, man. I mean, these are these teachers these days. They're underpaid.
Oh, they're all severely underpaid. It's fucking oof.
They're not getting enough money, man. These teachers should be getting.
They never have though.
Doctor salaries.
I don't think it's ever happened. It's never. It'll probably never will. It never has happened where. Teachers at that level get anything what they're probably deserved.
So no, they just, don't get paid what they deserve.
But we have to spend money on shit like $80,000 radar flights to check on a bomb site for a fucking drone strike at a wedding. That's the guy spend the money. You got to spend a $5 million drone recon strike.
That's it. Yeah, because that's, you know, and really that's where the horror, the secret hidden horror of it all comes into play, which is that every time you hear about a drone strike, or every time you hear about how the United States is dropping bombs on ISIS, or every time you hear about any kind of military action that the United States is responsible for in any part of the world, you are hearing money being removed from the bank accounts of teachers and placed in the bank accounts of weapons manufacturers. Right. We would rather pay our weapons. Teachers are sculptors of life. Right. Weapons manufacturers are sculptors of death. And we like to give money to those sculpting doom instead of giving money to those sculpting our children.
That's the thing, is we don't like to. It's just the power is in the hands of so few, and everything's obfuscated to the point where you can't see what's happening. Like, the best thing to look up right now is, I think it's the F-35, the new fighter jet program. That right now is a black hole of such significant proportions that anyone, even the most lightly educated person to read it, would read about this shit, would just be like, you're fucking kidding me. They have spent something like, I don't even know, I want to say $100 billion, some astronomical amount of money on a jet that literally does not fly at all. It's not tested to fly. It keeps starting on fire, and they keep ordering more of them.
Why?
It's like this thing where, like, you know, remember they're trying to fix that oil well problem, the one in the one in the Gulf of Mexico recently? I kept doing stuff where it's like they would do something that wasn't working, and they thought if you do more of what's not working, it'd make it work. So it's the same thing where they're funneling more money into this program thinking it will fix it, when it's just making it more of a boondoggle. And it's such an extreme amount of money for this fucking fighter jet that doesn't even work, that to read about it, you're just like, you can't help but be flabbergasted at the disparity between, like, that money. If you took like a 10% of that money and spent it on schools, you would have fucking like the best schools in the entire world 10 times over. That's all it would take. All because this fucking fighter jet that can't even fly.
Yeah.
It's just maddening. Like,
this is why we've got to turn our attentions in the direction of what, and this is a fun thing to imagine. No matter how, like, because a lot of, it's really interesting how the power of imagination in your own mind has security guards that if you decide to imagine something that's too ridiculous, you'll actually get an alarm system set off in your brain, which is like, that'll never happen, so don't even bother thinking about it. But, and it's funny, if you really want to get into deep woo-woo shit, it's funny if the great architects have already recognized the fact that the force of human attention is so powerful that it tends to shape reality.
Yeah,
and so they've managed to condition the human mind with these internal force fields to keep all of us from imagining these kinds of utopian societies, because they know if enough people did it, it would move in that direction. But just for fun, if you just imagine, somehow, by some miracle, all war ends, right? All war ends. All that money goes into the schools. Now imagine what a high school would look like if it had added to its budget the economy of the military-industrial complex, where kids are sitting in these like really nice fucking chairs. The teachers are getting paid $200,000 a year, and it's a very competitive industry where if you get hired as a fucking public school teacher, it's the same as like getting in at like a Harvard or Princeton or something.
Or working at Northrop Grumman as a fucking warhead designer.
Yes, yes, yes. Where these fucking teachers who are teaching these classes are so smart, and they've really, really had to like just go through a billion interviews to get into the fucking job, and now kids are getting these incredible educations. Imagine that. Imagine what that school would look like.
Right.
What the bathrooms would look like. Imagine what the lockers would look like.
It would be great. But there's, I also think about that. I also think about the opposite of it, is like some of the things that I like more than anything in the world were created in the most difficult of circumstances.
Right.
Like reggae music, or any music for that matter.
Yeah.
If you think about any music you like, chances are it did not come from a person who had a lot of money to spend.
And that's true.
It's the opposite. Like, there's always like things that happen. So I like to
think saying my favorite flowers are the ones that grow from the sidewalk cracks.
Yeah. And but it's true because, like, you think about anything, any type of repression has always created the greatest art.
Yeah, but let me tell you something.
Not that we need to support
repression. I want to
test
that fucking theory because I think that if we started treating kids in high schools and junior high schools like they were human fucking beings.
Oh, yeah.
And not like cattle that were moving into the goddamn corporatocracy slaughterhouses. If we – I don't even know if that made sense at all. But
it makes sense.
The slaughterhouses of the corporatocracy, the mine slaughterhouses. If we start treating these fucking kids with the respect that we would give goddamn Napoleon, who wasn't much older than some of these kids, if we recognize that these fucking kids have just as much potential as – the Steve Jobs and treat every single one of them with the same respect and care that we treat our warheads with, then I think that within a few fucking generations, this country would invent teleportation or a time machine or who knows what. That's all. It's fun to imagine.
It's great to imagine. I think it definitely makes sense. It's about respect. It's about respecting, instead of telling someone what they could do, it's telling someone, oh, you can do whatever you want to do.
And we're treating you like that. Yeah. And the food.
That's a big thing.
Imagine how good the food at high schools would get if we had the military-industrial complex's money.
Yeah.
Where these kids are getting fed 4-star meals. The chefs there are like incredible chefs.
It's all sustainable. It's all near local. Everything is run on solar or like it's run on like minimal programs that use renewable local resources, all that stuff.
Delicious food, entertainment during lunch that's stuff kids would like.
It's happening in certain places. It is happening in certain places. And I feel like as much as it is disheartening to learn about the disparity in money being spent for education versus military, there are all these places now that are really successful smaller charter type schools that are implementing that type of thing. And I feel like it's something that will, if it's an idea that's good, it'll spread.
I sure hope
to hope it will spread. If you think about it, it will spread.
Kids need with the continued legalization of marijuana, a reduction in the prescription of ADD medication, but they get to get prescribed like powerful sativas.
Hell yeah!
So that like you could like instead of like getting the shitty goddamn pharmaceutical dreck in your brain, you're getting to enjoy getting the best information that we have given that's being given to you in an entertaining way by super trained teachers while under the influence of super potent strains of God bless America marijuana.
That and also just here's what would solve everything in an instant. All you have to do is in every school, all you have to do is teach meditation. That would fix everything.
Yes!
If you teach meditation to kids, it's like the cure-all.
That needs to be at least 2 hours of the day are dedicated to meditation and relaxation. There needs to be
it would be an explosive reaction. It would be something where it would fucking burn the goddamn world down with wildfire of the kind that doesn't burn things. You know what I mean? Like positive fire. I don't know what that would be.
We don't know, but it would be something that would be very healing and everyone's like, oh, we got to compete with fucking China.
Yeah.
No, we don't. We don't have to compete with shit. We've got to make our kids happy so that they can be happy adults so that our society can prosper in the way that it needs to prosper.
That's if you want to compete with China, that's how you do it. Just get the kids meditating.
Yeah.
And we'll be on the same wavelength and we'll all be on the same vibrational frequency where there is no competition.
Yes.
So there's this one big push forward, this big oof.
You poor kids out there, man. You guys need spas in your school. You know, they need spas. Like there needs to be.
I'll tell you what I could have used.
What?
It's a nice little place to go and get an anonymous hand job as a 16-year-old just to blow off that steam, man. There's so much building up in that steam factory down below.
All the fucking
get it out of me.
So that's another thing, man. You know, because maybe with like
get it out
as we develop robotic technology that could be in the spas.
Just dump that. Just pump and dump.
It's
pump.
Funny how like
I feel like a pregnant one with breasts. You don't have to you have to pump your breasts if you're pregnant.
Yeah,
right. Because it's like it hurts. It builds up and it hurts. I mean, I remember being in high school, just like I don't want this boner.
It was a nightmare because that was, you're right, because that was an inevitability in high school.
Get this rock hard sword away from me.
You're right, man. That's so. I like that our high school rant started off with like something that kind of makes sense. Teachers get paid more. Let's teach
meditation.
Then it ended with let's get the marijuana and hand jobs, and the whole thing fucking fell apart.
Well, you know, if they meditate enough, they'll get their shit together, and they can figure out a way to make everyone happy.
Meditation makes sense. But I don't know, man. But you know, it is possible though. All these things are possible.
Yeah.
We don't have to torture our children to make them better people, and we don't have to make our teachers this whole fucking thing where the government decides what teachers have to standard. I don't know what it's called. There's a name.
Standardized testing thing.
This whole bullshit where the teachers are forced to teach specific things at certain times. No.
Have you seen the John Oliver show much?
No.
It's pretty great. I gotta say, I watch it every time. I'm like, wow, I didn't know that about that thing, and now I wish I did know about that because it's maddening. You talk about that whole issue of standardized testing, how there's teachers like, I have three graduate degrees in English, and I got a bad score on this English test because it's the same thing where all the companies are in bed with the people who are paying them. So it's just this is a classic case of everything, like the same way everything is bought and paid for, so they have a vested interest in maintaining the status quo.
Well, listen to this, friends. We got to go. It's heating up in my podcast studio.
Yeah, we've done that.
But my dear darlings, you can change the world. All you got to do is start with yourself, and then the flowers of paradise can grow into this country.
I'm trying to throat sing.
Yeah, let's both throat sing. We're going to end on a nice long om. Thank you, Johnny.
Thanks, Duncan.
Hare Krishna.
Jai Rastafari.
Thanks for listening, pals. Thanks to Harrys.com for sponsoring this episode. If you like this podcast, why not go to iTunes and give us a nice rating? It actually helps in some way. Also, subscribe to us, won't you? Thank you. We'll be back next week. Hare Krishna.